So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup, Haha, Okay. I'm Miss H, and today Mr. O and I will be talking about Season 3, Episode 8 of Love After Lockup. This week, we finally get to meet Heather, her little pocket friend, and get introduced to Dylan. Destiny actively seeks a girlfriend while trying unsuccessfully to spend Sean's money. Chevelle buys Quaylen a car. Maurice drinks some warm vodka. Christiana meets up with her mother, and Scott irons on a countertop. If you like what you hear, please support us by subscribing and leave a 5-star rating or any other constructive comments are welcome. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast channel, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks, stay safe, and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O.
How are things going?
Things are going okay. I know you just started school today.
Yes, today was our first day of virtual or distance learning where I had to do it like with the students in the class in the spring. I just pre-recorded my lessons and now I had to do it live and whew, that was a lot. That was a lot. My muscle memory is built for the classroom.
Yeah, it really is. And I know that, you know, you don't have to worry about passing. I mean, I guess as teachers, we don't really pass anyway, but it just seems way more exhausting.
Right.
Like, especially that in-between transition time.
Yeah, yeah, which is really fast. But anyway, speaking of things that are really fast, let's go with Jessica's car.
Oh, goodness.
So we open where we left off with Maurice and Jessica as they're speeding to the Nevada border, right? And she's about to turn around because he's going to break his parole and blah, blah, blah. But eventually, Jessica decides that she's ride or die and she'll go with his plan to go into Nevada. But before they get there, they stop at the border so Maurice can jump back and forth between Nevada and California. Like, now I'm in Nevada. Now I'm in California. Now I'm breaking the law. Now I'm not breaking the law. It's like, no, once you leave, you broke the law. Anyway. Also, he needs to take a piss on California because it's been nothing but trouble for him.
Oh, God.
Eventually, they get back to her place in Vegas, and they're both happy about the house they're going to be staying in. What Maurice appreciates is the thick-ass carpet, the fly paint, and the warm vodka.
Gosh, gross.
Maurice goes to take a shower and get ready to meet Jessica's parents. After a shower, Maurice brushes his teeth to get ready, and Jessica reminds him that he doesn't have to spit his toothpaste out in the toilet anymore. He can spit in the sink. They're trying to keep it secret that Maurice is violating his parole right now. And as they get close, Maurice is marveling at the giant houses in her parents' neighborhood. There's a 4-car garage. He says, like, MTV Cribs. But he also asks Jessica how she feels about bringing home a black man to her parents. Jessica tries to play it cool. Like, what does that matter? That doesn't make a difference. But it's pretty obvious that in the back of her mind, she's very nervous that it's not just Maurice's criminal past that's going to be a problem with his parents, but also his race. So they both nervously kind of get there. They ring the doorbell and the whole episode ends when the door opens. At least I thought it did. We both had recording issues, but
yes, it was very weird. I think that was all I saw as well.
Okay. Okay. Then Honey Boo Boo started.
which it didn't for me, but I don't know. There were other issues. Well,
We had recording issues.
Yes.
So I'm going to leave with
this. But not really recording issues. It was like our DVRs were doing weird things. Like my DVR misnumbered it.
Right.
And so
what mine did was mine started 15 minutes late. And so I saw – I missed the first two scenes, but then I saw the first two scenes of the Honey Boo Boo show afterwards.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so I was like, why is this show only 45 minutes long? That was weird.
Right.
Right.
Well.
I want to leave with talking about them. Right. It's a minor thing, but it bothers me. Do you notice how Maurice sits in the car?
No.
Oh. He does that – okay. So the stereotype I heard about it, he does that thing where he puts – the seat back, like super reclined.
Oh, yes.
And then doesn't actually look recline all the way back into it. He's like halfway up. He's like clenching his abs the whole time. The seatbelt's like, you know, a foot and a half off of his chest. And I'm just
sure.
It's one of those things that just bothers me as a person. I was like, if you get in a car accident, this is not helping. It's not going to go well for you, bud. Like, even though your seatbelt is on.
Like, right.
So I don't know, it bothered me. And the thing I always heard about that, and it makes sense, you know, from Maurice being a Crip, is that you kind of lay low because people oh, can't sure. see you, and
it, you'd be creeping.
Well, yeah, and it's for like if somebody shoots the car, like you're more protected the more of your body you can get below the window line.
Oh, right. So speaking of which, it's interesting that you should bring that up. Okay, so he has a giant Compton Crypt tattoo on his back. Mm-hmm. That seems like a very bad place to have a tattoo, like, because if someone sees it and they're not down with the Compton Crips, it seems like they're going to shoot you in the back.
Well, isn't that what happened when he walked out of a store that one time in Compton?
But he had a shirt on.
I thought he had an A shirt, right? It was cut that you could probably see the top of it. And if you knew what was going on, maybe. Then you would know what that tattoo was, right?
Okay.
But,
sure.
But you're right. But it's like in the middle of his back, like not high up.
Right. It just seems like that's a bad place to put it in general. It's like you literally have a target on your back.
I mean,
like you couldn't put it somewhere else.
That's where you. I mean, it's not a secret. He's like, it's very much like I'm not hiding anything. This is what I am.
It kind of goes back to that. It's a target on your back. Like, sure, it's not a secret. Put it on your arm or you know your chest, where if you see someone like have a reaction to it, you can do something. But if someone sees it like on your back, like you wouldn't see someone's reaction to it.
If they see it on your front, I mean, if every kind of person is going to shoot you in the back, they'll just wait till you walk past and then shoot you in the back. I don't think it's as big of a deal to have it. I mean, having it that big I can see that from a half mile away that guy's a crip. I don't have to be close or, you know, kind of walk by him in the mall and be like, oh my goodness, there it is. It's obviously and hopefully it's not going to be a non-issue in Vegas, but less of an issue.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I have a theory that Maurice isn't really from California. Like he may have, you know, lived there his like young adult life,
his formative years, or
yes, okay. But I don't think he's from California, and this is the reason why, because he refers to California as Cali.
Uh-huh.
And native Californians that actually like grew up here, no one refers to it as Cali. Everyone from out of state refers to it as Cali, but we just don't. Like, we refer to it as just formally California, or if we're going to shorthand it, we may say SoCal, NorCal. Uh-huh. But, I mean, of all the people that I knew that I grew up with, no one calls it Cali.
I mean, yes. I mean, no, I know that. I know it's definitely something. I know that. I know Cali and San Fran drive people crazy, right?
Yes.
Frisco. Frisco's the other one.
Like, Frisco, like,
nobody
God,
says
yeah.
Frisco.
No.
What the hell?
No. Right? Nope.
Right? Which is funny because we have all kinds of like places over here. It's the Frisco Tap House and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that is a thing. But I just wonder if it's – wait a second. Wasn't there a rap song? Wasn't there Going Back to Cali?
Yeah, but by the guy who was from the East Coast.
Yeah. You're right. I had to place who it was. Sure.
Yeah, it was Notorious B.I.G.
No, I thought it was LL Cool J. We're looking it up.
Oh, I don't think either are from California anyway.
I'm looking. Yes, it is LL Cool J. Oh, actually, they both had it. They both did that song. Same song. All so right. We are both right. Yes. Good for us. Probably both from New York, too. I think I'm pretty sure they're both from Brooklyn. But yes.
Oh.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough.
So let's talk about State Line versus Vegas. Okay, so they were like making a big deal when they're at State Line because he's like breaking the rules.
Yes.
Okay, so they're at State Line, which isn't that far away from Vegas. Like, once you hit the State Line, it's maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes to Vegas proper.
Uh-huh.
And so to me, it's kind of like, I would probably risk it then too. Because it's like an extra 30 minutes to get, you could just say like, oh, hey, I'm at State Line. Like,
right,
I'll
yeah.
just head on over, like no big deal.
This Holiday Inn right here that we're standing next to at the State Line. That's where I am.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I would, yeah, it'd be easy to kind of cheat your way, like saying, because I mean, it's right. pretty far.
Which seems to me like, yeah, because I would, yeah, we're talking about this in a different way, but I mean, I wouldn't do it on freaking camera again. That's the other part that we had an issue with. But yeah, I would totally be like, listen, there's a Holiday Inn right there, literally right at the border, right? Let's just go live in your house, but still get a room at the Holiday Inn so you have like receipts. And you can be like, listen, I was staying at the Holiday Inn. It's right there.
Yeah.
Like she stayed at her house so she could come and we were close together. Yeah.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So, yeah, I don't know why they don't think more devious like us, I guess.
I mean, part of the reason is that, but probably part of the reason that he was in jail for so long. Not exactly the.
I know, right? Not the smartest criminal.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. So I thought it was actually really cute how Maurice just seemed so excited about everything and how nice everything was.
It is.
It was really cute. He was like, I don't want to act like a little kid, but it's like, it's nice up in here.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's the thing that got to me. You had your California theory, but I don't know. It seemed the way he was jumping over the border, the state line, was like, is this the first time you've seen a state line? Like, have you ever, like, done that? Because it's harder to get out of, it's farther to get out of the state from where you are, but I drive out of a state all the time. It's like not, it's a nothing, right? We're in Virginia now. Now we're in the district. Now we're in Pennsylvania. Now we're in West Virginia. Like, it's a whatever. Like, right? It's not a thing.
Yeah.
But it just seemed really, really, like, he seemed to be giddy, so giddy about that. Like, he definitely had never had carpet that nice and paint that nice. Yeah. It's the nicest house he's ever lived in, right?
Yeah,
so that
definitely.
So it also seemed like, is this his first time, like, driving over a state line?
I think it's, like, his first time, like, kind of feeling, you know, control over it,
sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was kind of young, I think, when he went to, no, he's only been in prison for a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's been in and out. I don't think he's a he wasn't like Quaylen. Like, he wasn't like, I was 17 and then been in for 12 years. But he wasn't
right.
Like, it was like, I think he's been in and out for a few stints, 2 years here, 3 years there, stuff like that.
Sure. Because I think it's very different when you're like kind of road tripping with your parents.
Sure.
You don't get that sense of freedom as opposed to, you know, road tripping with your friends, right? And his friends don't seem the type to be like, let's all go on a road trip.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
They're the ones who are like, yeah, let's cruise around town and see what trouble we can get into here types.
Totally, totally. I mean, it's also a difference between our tiny East Coast states and your big Western states too.
Yeah.
As far as how far can you drive and still be in California?
Right. So he says, he's like, I picked well. It was a blessing meeting this girl. And he's not completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like a lot of these people have kind of the same situation. But, you know, I kind of wonder, did he pick her for the stuff that she could provide or for her?
Right.
And I guess that's always the question with these couples.
It
you
is.
Know?
It is. It is.
Yeah. Is it a transactional relationship, or were you like, oh, I happen to like this person and it happens that they kind of can provide me these things?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let's talk about Scott and Lindsay. So we get a gratuitous Scott shirtless scene as he is ironing his shirt on the granite countertops. We get kind of a blurry close-up of his tribute tattoo to either Audi the car or his deceased son. It kind of looked like maybe it was a little of both. He gets a call from Lindsay, who finally gets to explain what happened. It seems timeline-wise, it's been a month, and this is the first time Scott has gotten to hear from her since she is only allowed one call a month. She explains that her place in the halfway house was pulled and given to someone else because Lindsay had been a smartass to one of the staff members. Lindsay was in the shoe for fighting, but they were still saying that she would get out, and it wasn't until the very last minute she found out that she wasn't leaving. Scott hopes that Lindsay really is telling the truth about this whole story. He offers her some money, and she gladly accepts. Lindsay is hopeful that she will be getting out soon because she's keeping her head down and not getting any fights, but she has yet to get a release date. Lindsay tells us how you make makeup in prison. She says that you use pencils and pens, and you can take a Q-tip, rub some deodorant on it, and then pull the ink off magazines for eyeshadow. She says that people have warned her that it'll mess up your eyes, but she says she's fine, and putting on makeup makes her feel better and normal. All right, so that was kind of in that weird little commercial scene,
of course,
right?
Uh-huh.
A makeup tutorial from Lindsay, which is interesting about the magazines thing. I think people are right. Like, I wouldn't put crap like that near your eyes. It seems really super dangerous.
I mean, the Vaseline is fine. I put Vaseline near my eye, right?
Yeah.
The ink from the magazine, not so much.
That seems a little sketchy.
Actual like pencil instead of like an eyeliner pencil.
Oh God. Yeah, it depends on what kind of pencil. I think, like, they don't actually make it out of lead anymore.
But no, it's
like,
graphite. It's graphite.
Yeah, graphite. But still, I don't think putting that near.
Okay. Drent, you know, all the time that I've put on eyeliner, of course, you know.
Of course.
Which was once, by the way.
but for a like play, I feel like.
What's that?
For a play, I feel like.
Something like that.
Oh, gosh. I feel like there's more of a story.
Yeah, that might be an offline story.
okay.
No, it was like a joke thing for prom.
Okay.
It was but it's soft, right? It's softer than like a pencil.
Yes, definitely.
So like that's what I'm worried about with the pencil. Not the actual graphite, but the fact that like it's going to tear like the crap out of your skin.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good.
Right. Okay. I was kind of confused by his tattoo. They were blurring some of it out.
They blurred out his last name.
Okay. So what was going on with the tattoo? I didn't get a close enough look. It looked like the Audi symbol.
So yeah.
It actually said Audi on it. But then it looked like there were like masks or something that were tying them together.
No. So I did pause it and look at this tattoo very closely.
Good. I'm glad you did the research.
It was above everything, it said Connor S. Blah. And that's what they blurred out. Right. Because they don't use last names. But they said his son was Connor. Then it had the Audi logo, the four circles, but like on top of the four circles were like two fists doing a fist bump.
Okay.
Okay. Like kind of coming out the first and the last circle. And then under that, it said the words Audi, the word Audi, right? And then under that, it said until we meet again, and then had his, the day he was born and the day he died, the dates for the son.
What does Audi have to do with it? I was so confused.
Based on what we saw before, I think his son was really into like motorcycle racing, and like I think he was like Team Audi or whatever.
Oh, I didn't even know Audi made motorcycles.
Pretty sure they do. Let's see.
Well, I'm not saying they're not. They don't, but I mean, I wouldn't think.
Right.
That's not the immediate brand I would think of when I think of motorcycles. Right.
Oh no. I mean, I think of there is an Audi cycling team.
Okay.
Yes, you tend to think of obviously Harley, but if you're racing motorcycles, it's not Harley, right? You tend to think of like Kawasaki's and Hondas and stuff like that, right?
Yes, sure. I'm just confused. Why would you have a tribute to a car on your arm?
I don't know.
Like, I get that it's in the context of his son, Yeah, it just looks like he's a walking billboard ad.
Yeah,
it's
kind
of odd.
I'm really not one for – I mean, I'm not going to judge him based on how he chooses to grieve his son. Like, that
is
whatever he did was fine for me personally, right? I'm definitely not one for memorial tattoos because it just, to me, it sends the message like I wouldn't remember them if I didn't have them etched onto my skin forever.
Okay.
It's like, no, I don't need the drawing on my arm to remember my son that I loved. But I also to weirdly associate the memory of my son with consumerism, like in a brand name.
That's the part that's weird to me.
Is even like more foreign to me, let's say.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if it's not for you to remember, but almost like for a chance for you to talk to other people about it, right?
Yeah.
Because I think inevitably you're going to get the situation where people are like, oh, well, who's Connor? Oh, and so it's like.
So what is the Audi logo for? Yeah. Like, well, that's going to come up.
Audi logo, who knows? Right.
So that's about. Okay. Yes. Because you mentioned it. You know how close I looked to see if those were actual granite countertops or just the laminate countertops with the granite type print on them?
Because
like, you're gonna.
I thought it was granite.
It is granite.
Because there's no way
it is.
You can't do that on laminate.
I know. That was my original thing. My original thought was, oh my God, you can't do that on laminate. Like,
well, you probably shouldn't do it on granite either.
You probably shouldn't do it on granite either. The granite's supposed to be able to take the heat, right? But I don't know. But that's like the heat of coming out of the oven, not the heat of an iron. That's different.
And I was going to say, too, I feel like there's so many, like, rock-like but not granite situations.
Sure. Because
you know you have, like, quartz and I don't know what else is out there.
Oh, yeah. Because the thing that got me is usually, and this is 100%, usually granite countertops kind of come to more of a square edge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not rounded on the edge.
Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. But those were rounded on the edge, which is why I had to, like, go back and look and be like, is that laminate? Is he doing that on laminate? And I was like, I decided no, because it didn't look like there were seams. It looked like it was a solid surface. So I was saying, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But still at the same time, I wouldn't trust like ironing on that.
No. It just seems
like ironing boards are less than $10. Like, come on. You're like giving Lindsay like a crap ton of money. I think you can afford a $10 ironing board.
And they also are like ironing boards are friggin' literally made for shirts.
Like, yes,
you
they
put
are.
The shirt on the ironing board and the neck is there and it gets wider at the right spot. And it's literally designed so the shirt sits flat on the ironing board when you're ironing it. That's not the true on the countertop. God.
Your priorities are so messed up.
I know. Because you have to – it doesn't – you can't, you're ironing both sides at the same time because you have them flopped. It's – oh, I don't like it. I'm with you. Just get an ironing board.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay. Who's up next?
Next up is – we'll go with Chevelle and Quaylen.
Okay.
So Chevelle is getting ready to have a family party to celebrate Quaylen's release. And she needs him out of the house so that she can get everything together. So Quaylen's mom and sister – his sister's name is – Quinandria come to pick him up and they go shopping at the thrift store. Chevelle's family comes to help and we can already see her cousin DeMarc doesn't seem too pleased. He comes over to help but is just making grumpy faces in the corner, and then Chevelle picks him to come with her to do some sort of favor. Then we switch to the thrift store where Quinandria is worried about Quaylen being stuck in Kansas City and meeting up with somebody who might not be on his level. And it's going to get him in trouble. And that she, like her mom, thinks that he should go to Houston as well. And then, you know, Quaylen doesn't understand why neither him, his sister, or his mom trust him because he's not a little boy anymore. And in the next scene, we see the errand that DeMarc and Chevelle have to run, which is picking up the F-150 that Chevelle bought for Quaylen. It's used and it costs $5,000, but the money isn't really what has DeMarc worried about. He thinks that he immediately says with this truck that you've just given him a giveaway vehicle. He's going to drive away and skip town. And then he just gets more crazy from them. He yells at her for not knowing Quaylen enough and having too much faith in him and says his relationship has only been one-sided. He feels the faith is misplaced. I mean, he really, really lays into her. He's yelling a crazy person. So he screams at her for a while and eventually kind of calms down and says he doesn't like the situation and he doesn't like Quaylen already. So DeMarc is mostly upset that he thinks Chevelle is just going to give and give and give and give. We learned this when he's talking in when they're driving the separate cars home. Give and give and give and give with no return home. So I don't know. What do you think? Is it a misplaced trust? I mean, why did she buy him the car?
Oh, 100% it's misplaced trust. I feel like, her situation – where she is so desperate for a proposal because this is not a done deal. Mm-hmm. This is not closed by any means, right? So she wants this proposal now.
Uh-huh.
I kind of feel like she's trying to show him how good it can be being with her. She's pretty much trying to sell like herself as a partner. Like, hey, look, I can provide for you. I can give you stuff. Like, life will be so much better if you're with me. Mm-hmm. You should lock this down.
Right.
So I kind of feel like that's her primary motivation of doing something like this. Mm-hmm. And like to like DeMarc, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, Quaylen didn't ask for the car.
Right.
Well, at least not that we know of, right?
Right.
And I kind of like appreciate that because, you know, it's like you can't blame Quaylen in this situation, but you can 100% blame Chevelle because I don't think that's a smart move.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I get the impression that the man needs a car, right?
Yes.
Like, it seems like the neighborhood they live in, like, mm-hmm. you know, we've both been to Kansas City and the walkable, you know, urban center of Kansas City is really small. Right?
Oh, sure. Right. Sure.
In terms of where you can live without a car and be mm-hmm. okay. It's not even really so small as to be non-existent.
Yes.
Right. So and that where they are, which is more like the toward the suburbs, like you're not doing anything. You can't have a job without a car. Right.
Right.
You can't. So and I would definitely be more worried that he'd get into trouble if he was just sitting around, you know, doing nothing all day at the house than if he didn't have a car, right? So I see where it comes from where he kind of needs to have it, right? And so – but this clearly wasn't this is a utilitarian thing that we've discussed together and we're going to work out how to manage this and we'll have two cars that will be ours and we'll figure it out. It was, no, here, I'm getting you a big present of a car.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the smartest move would have been to buy him a bicycle. Like, let's start off small, right? He could still kind of get around. It's not as big of an investment. And then he could graduate to a car. Well, I mean, or maybe graduate to a Vespa.
You can do better than $5,000 for a car, right?
Yeah. Because
you spent $5,000 for the car, which, by the way, that's a good price for that truck.
Yeah. Like, okay. So I definitely cringed when I saw the $5,000 price tag because her house doesn't look that nice. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice. It's like, it's a modest home, right? It's a modest home. And I just kind of feel like, you know, in situations like this, you have a child. Like, there's got to be better ways that you could invest in your child.
You could have spent that money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Than in this random person, which DeMarc has a good point. Like, she doesn't know if this guy's going to be in her life, like, 3 months from now. So it's just kind of like, why are you investing in someone where you don't know they're going to be around for the long haul?
Right. I mean, yeah, and that's it. But, you know, I would be on board with her being like, no, we needed two cars. This is still my car, right? I have two cars. He can use this one, but it's my car because I stress this. $5,000 for an F-150 is a good price.
Yeah,
like it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. Even a 10-year-old truck like that, they hold their values really well. Even a 10-year-old truck like that's mostly going to cost you like $12,000. Right.
Interesting. That is interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, a new one's almost 40.
Like, yeah.
So
it'd be also interesting to hear what kind of job he is planning on getting because, you know, it's like there's a lot of construction jobs where having a truck would be super huge and beneficial.
Right.
And, you know, but I think I also struggle with the part where Chevelle, like, she didn't even present it as any kind of loan. Like, here, I'm getting you this car, but, you know, like, with the hopes of, you know, you being able to drive to work.
Yeah.
You being able to get, like, work of a certain kind that you, you know, you're skilled for. And let's kind of have a plan where you can pay it back. It really is a gift in the truest sense, which, like, I get it. That's how it should be. There shouldn't be any expectations when you give to someone. But at the same time, in this particular context, when you don't know this person, like, it just seems like that's just a very bad financial decision.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I can see you on that. And it just would have played a little bit different. But, I mean, DeMarc was just – he wasn't even
– oh, yeah.
Like, he wasn't even making any sense. I don't know why it made him so angry. That's what got me.
Okay, here's the thing too, is like, because they're close, right? They're cousins, and they clearly have a close relationship.
Cousins, and she, you know, by her accounts, almost like a brother, right? Like, really close cousins. Yes.
Right. Okay. Let's say, like, and we don't know his story, right? Let's say there was a situation where DeMarc was hard up for money and asked Chevelle to, like, help out.
Uh-huh.
And Chevelle's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I really would love to help you out, but I can't. Turns around, gives this guy a $5,000 car. I can see how he would be extra pissed about that scenario.
Fair enough.
Or any kind of situation, like, with, you know, family and money, like, maybe even knowing Chevelle's financial situation better than us and seeing that, you know, $5,000 is a lot in Chevelle's household. Like, why is she spending it on this? I can see lots of scenarios where, you know, DeMarc being close to her knows a little bit more.
Sure.
Where he would be angered by this gesture because, you know, of the actual financial cost of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Yeah. All right, next up we have, oh, let's go to our new couple. Finally.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, finally we meet Heather and Dylan. So we finally get to meet Heather in a sex shop as she's on the phone with her man, Dylan. Heather says she's never had trouble meeting people, but she does have troubles keeping them. She wants someone she can work with and grow with. She's deciding what to wear for her first night with Dylan, and she's asking him on the phone if he wants a banana hammock. She describes the first time they met, which was at her friend's house party where Dylan was taking a shower and she just decided to use the bathroom anyway. And then he peeked his head out of the shower and was like, hey girl, hey. And then they were both instantly attracted to one another. A few weeks after they met, Dylan was arrested for selling E to an undercover cop. She only then found out that this was not Dylan's first arrest. A month after being in prison, he proposed to Heather, so she's been visiting him every weekend for the last 5 years. Heather is so excited to see him and to be able to touch him. She's excited to just bathe him and cook for him. And then she gets kind of embarrassed because she realizes how creepy that sounds. Yeah. She subjects the poor sex shop employee to a little TMI about her personal purse vibrator and then insists she sees pictures of her man. So Heather is just one person, right?
Yes. I mean, you would think so. I saw there was a lot of different – the Heather in the sex shop and the Heather in the interviews.
Oh, and then the Heather in the pictures.
You could convince me they were different people. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Like, I was just like, who is this person? And then she starts talking about Dylan and then, like, talking about Dylan's girlfriend. I was like, yeah, but then who's this other person? I was like, how many girlfriends does he have?
Right.
She looks – Very different.
Very different.
And in her interview, she kind of looks like Katy Perry a little bit, like with the brown hair,
big brown eyes. That brown hairstyle, about that length. But that hair length, to go from like the pixie cut thing she has in the sex shop to the hair length that and was in pink. The interview, that's a long time, right? Because I don't think it was a wig. I didn't think it was a wig in the interview. Mm, I mean, obviously, because, you know, wig, you can do anything. I guess, but it would take a long time to grow that out. But it also is not the kind of hairstyle you generally get when you get like extensions, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think one kind of more telltale thing with extensions is if you see layers, because typically what happens is you hide the extension under your real hair, and so it's like a layer over like the extension piece.
Oh, I can hear that. So when it grows out, your real hair is still on top of it. Sure.
Well, yes and no.
In theory.
Yeah, I was going to say, not really, because they attach it to kind of the base of a chunk of hair. Uh-huh. And so if it grows out, you'll kind of see like an inch or two of growth or something in between. Yeah, so, but they do try to kind of hide it underneath. And yeah, I guess I couldn't really tell if her hair was layered. But here's a theory. You know, I think they're not going to be on this show for very long.
Well, I don't
he goes back to jail like pretty quickly, I think, maybe. That's our theory, at least, why we kind of haven't seen so much of them, because he hasn't been out. So is it possible that they actually filmed this couple for a previous season and just didn't find space because it was such a short storyline?
Oh, possibly.
And so then, you know, then maybe they are more hard up for content this time around. So they're like, okay, well, we'll just insert
We had this COVID film stopping, so we'll just dig this out of the archives.
Forget about COVID. Is it weird that like all these people are like say they're coming out, but they're not actually coming out? Like Lindsay and then, you know, Heather Dillon, like,
yeah,
that, you that, know, yeah. How many other do we have? It just seems like people have been taking a while to get out.
Right. That is true. Maybe it's too TMI, but what's the point of having a vibrator in your purse?
I don't know.
Like wherever you want to get busy, it can just be there. Like, why does it have to be with you on the go? Like, I get, you know, needing to take care of business. Sure. Fantastic. Good for you.
But desperate times, like, where you just got to carry it around. I guess it's small enough where she probably is just like, whatever.
I guess it is, but I feel like.
Keep it in my purse.
I feel like if you're.
Seems like unsanitary conditions.
It definitely seems like it's not getting washed properly after it's being used. Let's say that.
Gross. But it's so disgusting.
It seems like if you're so horny that you're like, no, I need it right now.
I need it right now. That nothing else will do.
You can probably take care of business on your own, right? You don't need the extra help.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're that much of a crazed sex person that you can't wait until you're in an appropriate place.
Yeah.
Then I guess.
I would imagine. It just seems really weird to me.
Yes. To your point, if you're that horny, like, it seems to me that you maybe don't need help.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Where you just, like, have to have it right then. It's like, maybe.
Yeah, I think you have everything you need already to take care of business.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. That's very true. Yeah. They seemed really kind of sweet on the phone. I was very confused by their meetup story. Like, why was he in the shower? Why was she in the bathroom?
Okay, so it was funny because it wasn't until you explained it your way. First of all, she was drunk or high. right? She had to be drunk or high.
Okay,
that would be that was true. The way I heard that story is that's when you bust in on a bathroom that clearly has somebody in the shower.
Yeah.
And are surprised that there's somebody in the shower. Like,
right.
You were not at your full mental capabilities, right?
Oh, sure.
So, like, she was drunk or high. And then, like, I think he opened the shower. And then did they just have sex in the shower? Like,
No, because she said that she's never had sex with him before.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's unusual. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I thought exactly.
When they met, he was naked. So, yeah.
Yeah. They've been out a full – so I shouldn't say been out. Before he went to prison, they were, quote, dating or whatever for at least a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems to me like – you know, I'm not advocating for people to have sex within a week of meeting someone.
But you'd think vibrator in the purse person would be definitely yes, within a week
would be
of
all
a person.
About that. Yeah. Yeah, you would think. So, yeah, very interesting situation. I don't know. Maybe there's certain drugs where you can't do that as easily.
Possibly. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what she was. I mean, he got busted for selling E, so.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but it was that standard. That's my new theory of it's holding up still is like just like 90 Day Fiance always has the wedding dress shopping scene. Love After Lockup must always have a sex shop scene.
Yep,
gotta get it.
I feel like we have seen a lot of sex shops on this show.
Yeah, we have. It's good. Good for the industry, I guess. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So Sean and Destiny.
Oh.
So the two of them wake up in bed. Well, more accurately, Sean wakes up first and then wakes up a hungover Destiny, who doesn't even know how she got into the clothes she was wearing after the wild night she had the night before with, you know, Hector and whatever. And then the plan is while Sean is at work, because he's going to work that day, Destiny wants to do some shopping, which is tricky because she's not allowed to access a checking account due to the huge amount of check fraud that she's been convicted of. Which she doesn't understand because the government writes bad checks all the time.
Oh, God.
We're going to talk about that.
What she means by that.
So she is wowed by Apple Pay, but gets bummed when Sean limits her spending to $1,500 because she had like 3 to 5 times that much in mind. All right. Sean tells us that in order to finance his life, when he's leaving to go to work, he has cashed out his 401k.
Idiot.
Oh. And in the car, he calls Kelly, who has money he needs to spend on his daughters. And he tells us he talks to Kelly every day, but keeps his secret from Destiny because of jealousy issues. Always a good move. Kelly has decided not to talk to Sean anymore. She kind of tells him because of Destiny, which I feel like is a threat she's probably made a couple times already. So in the next scene, Destiny is shopping in a consignment shop for furniture, looking for home decor. She says shopping is one of the things she missed the most about being outside and is going to spend what she wants without regard to Sean's budget. She tells the woman in the shop that she doesn't even know what to look for on the outside because everything changes so much in 3 years. So the shop girl says she understands because she one time was locked up too. And then at this point, Destiny is no longer really shopping for home stuff as much as she's just trying to hit on the store employee. Who even points out while Destiny is hitting on her that she's wearing a fake engagement ring because gross old guys were hitting on her all the time. Although she says it's okay that Destiny's doing it. We hear more about Destiny's bisexuality and then she really TMIs the shop girl about how much she wants to cheat with her. And there's this big grand plan about introducing a woman and then becoming a bigamist with Sean.
Oh, God.
And then after all this, the shop girl still agrees to a date and even gives Destiny a discount. But she can't use the discount because the card was declined. We hear that the card was declined because it was canceled by the holder. But then when Destiny calls Sean, he just plays all dumb like he always does. Well, gee, I don't know what it was.
I don't know
what it could have been. So then she gets all pissed and walks out. Okay. So I want to start with... how into Destiny was that shop girl?
I thought it was kind of fake-ish.
Yeah.
I
mean, okay, so first of all, that was not a random consignment shop that they picked with a random person. They were want a hot, bisexual, out-of-prison person to be selling her furniture. This is what we want.
Like, they seemed like they were a good match. The consignment shop person definitely seemed like she had her life more together.
Yes.
But yeah, they kind of seem like they had similar experiences and maybe they would be a good match. I don't know.
I think it was set up. Like, I won't lie. Yeah. It's definitely set up.
Sure.
Because that just would be unbelievable to be like, we went to a random store and there was somebody that was exactly what she was looking for. And look at that. But I don't know. She just didn't seem that. It definitely seemed like she was just kind of like, oh yeah, that's right. I think this bitch might be psycho and I don't want to tell her no. And I'm also trying to make a sale. So yeah, you can cast me on a date. Oh, I love sushi. Yeah.
Right. The only thing that I think was a little suspicious is that she gave her the discount.
Yes.
Because she didn't have to do that.
No.
So it's kind of like, that was the only part that I was like, yeah, maybe she is into her.
Right.
You wouldn't just offer that up for no reason.
Right. Yeah. So that was the one thing. Okay. And then let's go back. That's where I wanted to start. Let's go back to the government writes bad checks all the time. What is she talking about?
I do not understand. I have no idea what she's talking about.
I've gotten lots of government checks. None of them have bounced.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Like I said, I had no idea what she's talking about. And it's just like, I don't know. She just seems really delusional.
She does. Because I'm like, she did that. She said that. And I was like, oh my God, a government-backed security is like the most strong thing you can buy. Like, it's considered right. better than straight cash. Like, it's so solid. Like, what are you talking about, lady?
Yeah. And it's just like, was that your defense in court? Because maybe that's why you ended up in jail. It's not like an actual legitimate
defense. Oh, yeah. I am definitely not feeling very confident about her ability to stay out of jail again as of this point.
No. All this reckless behavior. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
to go out and immediately good. Was like, yes. Because she even was like that. Like everybody, not everybody else, a few of the people, right? You know, Maurice. Even Christiana, right, are both like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm so afraid I'm going to fall back into my old patterns. I need to break the chain. And she's just like, whatever. It was just like old times. I was partying all night.
Yeah,
I was like,
I'm going to be drinking. I'm going to be spending money.
Right.
Obviously, she has a shopping problem. She said that she loves shopping and she can't even have – I don't even know how you would survive without like a basic checking account.
That's crazy, right?
How do you do that? And credit cards.
And she had it was like 500 felony charges she had.
Yeah.
That was like.
But it's like, I don't even know. How would you survive in society financially if you're not allowed to have a checking account or a credit card?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I really don't know. Like,
are you supposed to just like make cash everywhere? Like, you have to, first of all, to cash a check, you have to have an account.
Yeah. I mean, so that's what you have to go to a check cashing place and give them 10% of your check.
Yeah, that sucks.
Right.
Yeah. So then you get cash and then.
And then when you put the cash where?
Yeah, your mattress.
In your mattress? Yeah, what are you doing with the cash? Like, and then how do you pay, how do you pay your bills? Oh, my God.
Right.
You can't use a credit card or a checking account. I don't know how you pay your
bills.
Yeah. Do you got to go get money
orders?
You just
mail them money? Like, that's weird. You can't just mail, like, the electric company, like.
You got to get a money. You got to post office or whatever and get a money order.
Oh, my God. That sounds like such a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So just everybody out there, don't write 500 bad checks.
Yes, because this is a huge inconvenience in your life.
Yes.
Which is probably why she's looking for a sugar daddy. But apparently, Sean is the dumbest sugar daddy ever.
This is a sweet and low daddy, a Splenda daddy, really.
Yeah. Sugar daddy. God. Okay. So here's a life lesson kind of earlier on. We won't wait to the end. You should not be taking out anything from your 401k unless it's an emergency.
It kind of costs a lot to take the money out of my 401k.
Because you're not supposed to be doing that. Like, and let's be real here. Sean is not that far away from retirement age. He's got like 15 years left.
Oh, yeah. Not enough that he can be messing with it, right?
No. Not at all.
Because it is.
He's about halfway in.
More than halfway in. Right.
Yeah. If you're more than halfway in, you should not be taking it out because, I mean, this prolongs like the age that you can actually retire. At this point, Sean's going to be 90 before he's in any position.
Right.
To
because
retire.
You can't, because with the way they work with the investments and the way it builds on itself, you can't just, even if you did that, even if you took it out when you're 45 and put it back in, like it doesn't build on itself the same way.
Oh, I wasn't even counting him putting it back in. Yeah, I was like, saying, you're starting over now.
Yeah. If you're starting over at zero, yeah, just that's not the way. compound interest works, man. Like,
no, it doesn't. Sean doesn't occur to me to be the kind of person to like know how that works exactly. Because like I said, idiot, why would you take money out of this? Like, it is one thing if you are financially burdened by unemployment, you're going to lose your home and there's an emergency
medical
and you have
bills
expenses,
or something.
Medical
yeah.
bills,
yeah.
like unexpected things come up. This is so you can date some random chick from prison you met 3 months ago. This is a terrible decision. What are you doing
on
with your
so
life?
So many levels.
Oh my God. And you have kids, lots and lots of kids. It's one thing to like retire for yourself because you can make that decision. You're like, well, do I want to retire like when I'm 55, like versus like 75? You know, it's like, but you have kids that you have to continue to support.
Right.
So
I mean, producers know what they're doing. They showed us, they heavily implied that Destiny used her vagina to get it up to 3,500, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, 2 seconds later, he was like, I don't know if I can afford that $40 game for my daughter. I don't know. It seems like a lot. Yeah.
Right.
Like, he was hemming and hawing about that. But like, oh, man.
Yeah.
But then he just paid $2,000 for sex with the person he's supposed to be marrying.
That's probably the reason why he decided just to like – because he does. He seems like a non-confrontational guy.
Yes.
So like his way of dealing with it
is like, the card.
Oh, I'm just going to – I'm going to cancel the card and like I'm just going to play dumb and she can't like spend all the money and then maybe we can have the conversation later. Because he definitely is non-confrontational. I mean, he lied about his age and like, mm-hmm. you know, the number of kids he had because he's trying to keep a hold of her. So he can't just straight up lie to her like, oh, sorry, babe, I don't have the money to pay for like all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing the math. She's already spent $800. She's only been out of prison for 4 days. That means if she continues spending at that rate, that's $73,000 a year just for extra crap.
Yes. That's just for, that's her fun budget. And that,
yes.
And oh, you said that. That does not count her going out and drinking every night.
Oh, God. Well, maybe that the 800 does count for that. Who knows? Oh, right, because she paid – like Sean was paying for the drinks. I see what
right,
you're saying.
Right. So that's beyond that. Like, yeah. She wasn't paying for the – and then she's telling the shop girl, oh, yeah. She's like, are you going to pay? She's like, oh, my boyfriend's going to pay for us to go out and get sushi. Like, what the
– yeah.
Ugh.
Well, she – how does she have a way to get money? So, I mean, it
I know,
makes
I know,
sense,
but the way – but it's one thing to be like – to just like kind of acknowledge that and to be like, don't worry about it. My boyfriend's paying. Like,
okay, here's the thing. Okay, so she has Apple Pay on her phone, right? Isn't that still a credit card? Like, she could still get in trouble for that, right?
Oh, people – yes, because people fraud with Apple – with, like, iTunes gift cards all the time.
Yeah.
Like, people use that all the time in their fraud. So I don't know – and it is.
So I feel like she's playing dumb. Like, oh, it's a phone. It's not a credit card. Like, it's not the same thing.
Oh,
just
no,
like,
that counts.
No.
That counts. Yeah. That counts. But I think one of it was like one of those things that 3 years went by and that became a thing. And she was like, wait, what? You can just use your phone? And it's like, yeah. And I think he might have left out, well, yeah, it's linked to a credit card. Like, it's just.
Right.
I swipe the phone instead of my card. It's the same thing.
Once again, idiot. He doesn't know how basic money works.
No. Jeez. It's a magic machine that gives me money when I wave my phone at it.
Oh, yes. This 401k, it has money in it. I just take it out. Here, I have some more money.
Oh, I had to pay. Because he doesn't even understand that like the penalty that he paid to take it out isn't even the worst of why you shouldn't take it out.
Oh, no. I know. And it's just like – and I feel like they do that. Like, yeah, sure, to get money too, but it's like they do that to deter you from taking it out early.
Yes. Ugh.
Oh, my God.
So frustrating.
Idiot.
Just so much
dumb.
All
right. Okay, so last up, we have John and Christiana. So John picks up Christiana from the halfway house. She tells him that there were a lot of new girls, including some that she knew, so she was feeling a little overwhelmed. John has bought her a bouquet of flowers, which she is excited about, but unfortunately, she is not allowed to have flowers in the facility. John suggests that she give them to her mom, who they're meeting up with, or really just Christiana. Christiana has to lie about her outing with her mom to the halfway house, and they think she is out looking for jobs. Christiana has an emotional reunion with her mom, who asks if she's back for good, and Christiana says yes. Tammy, her mom, is thrilled to see her, but tells her that she was surprised about the marriage. Tammy encourages Christiana to stay out of prison. Christiana doesn't want to lose her mom, but she says that she easily forgets that fear or time away from her mom when she's using. Christiana says that she has been clean for 8.5 months and she is starting to feel overwhelmed and stressed, which she admits is a big trigger for her drug use. She's hoping that things will be different this time around since John is on her side and he can relate to her struggles. Okay, so how do you think that John is actually, what is he going to do to help keep Christiana sober?
I don't know. I feel like he thinks that just by keeping her away from other users as much as he can and not being a user himself, that's like good enough, right? That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope he's doing that, and I hope he doesn't have some sort of like, well, we'll just do this native ceremony over her and she will lose her addiction, which we haven't like heard about. But, you know, people – and I don't want to say if it's a native thing, right? There's all kinds of people believe in like, oh, we'll just – we'll pray for them. We'll pray on them and then they will no longer be addicted. And it's like, no, that's not –
it's like it requires them to also participate.
Yeah. It requires a lot, right? So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just – this halfway house sounds so terrible. Like, I don't get the halfway house, right?
Yes, I don't understand why, and this kind of goes back to, you know, your kind of rant on systemic issues, but, you know, like putting her in a place where she clearly has drug problems and just like sticking her in the midst of it, it just seems like it's not supporting her trying to get clean. Oh, and speaking of which, I think she's been in prison for more than 8.5 months, right?
Yeah.
So she says she's only been clean for 8.5 months.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you get.
So she's using in prison too.
Right.
And it just kind of makes me wonder, like, well, why did she decide to get clean randomly while she was in prison then?
Right. Well, because we can't remember. We always get these two confused. I don't know which.
Yes.
Who's been together for 9 months and who's been together for 3 months between these guys.
So I think these ones might have been together for 9 months.
Did she get clean after she met John? Because that would be.
Yeah.
Then that would lead him to reasonably believe that he could keep her clean if like, you know, he feels like he's been doing it so far.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But yeah, it's just crazy to me that the halfway house is like basically can't keep drugs out, which I totally believe, right? Can't keep drugs. There's drugs freely available in the halfway house, right? But you can't have that bouquet of roses, and you can't go see your mom.
Yeah. But here's all the illegal stuff that we're going to actually help facilitate.
Yeah.
That's super frustrating. Oh, goodness. All right. So I think that pretty much covers it. And we saw everyone this week except for Tyrese and Shonda.
Yes, we did.
Uh-huh. So who was your student of the week?
Always tough, right?
Yes. Always very
difficult. Very difficult. I went with Christiana, right? She seemed – I good relationship with the mom, you know, she seemed – she cried because she cared. Like, we've been at a – like
– right.
Like the things.
Yeah.
I know. And that's what's sad is it feels right now like she's trying really hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have seen things from the internet about where this goes, but it seems like right now she's trying really hard. And, you know, and also kind of – bucking the rules for the right reasons. Like, I feel like the Maurice going across state lines was something that was like a little bit different. I was like, I feel like we could find a better solution than this one. Whereas this one, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Go tell them you're finding a job and talk to your mom. Like, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Definitely.
Your student of the week?
My student of the week. Okay. So I'd kind of run this by you earlier. It was like really hard. I had to like dig deep. I went with John. And the reason why is because he just treats Christiana so well. Like, he gave her the roses and he didn't seem to be bothered or upset and like offered a very kind solution. Like, well, why don't you just give them to your mom, you know? And he didn't even say they have to be for me or anything like mm-hmm. that. He was like letting Christiana like give them to her mom. I really liked that. Like, he just seems like a genuinely caring, nice person.
Mm-hmm.
The one part that like kind of ruined it for me a tiny, tiny bit was that he's the one who's kind of like aiding and abetting like Christiana, like skirting the rules, basically driving her around to have these illegal meetups.
Right.
But quite honestly, like compared to if we're grading on a curve this week, I think, John.
So you know what, though? The other thing, too, you said that. That was a good bouquet of flowers. That was a nice bouquet of roses.
Yes, it was very nice.
Because so many times we see people get the roses and they're like, cheap, they're not open at all. It's just like 12 right. closed roses that are nothing. And they're a good color. They were all open just perfect. It was a nice bouquet of flowers.
Yeah. It was very nice. Yeah, definitely. Okay, how about your dunce?
I feel like every week, but I can't. It's destiny. Like,
yeah, I know, right?
I know. I feel like every week, but this time, just could you imagine a worse way of hitting on somebody? Like, put yourself in. You know, it's this shoes. Put yourself in the shoes of what if it was a guy, right? Mm-hmm. What if it was a guy that was like hitting on a woman and was like, I'm just out of jail. I'm looking to cheat on my wife. I'm hoping that I can at one point have a three-way that turns into me being married to two women. And I think we should go out for sushi and she's going to pay for it. Like, who's into that? What is this? What is that nonsense?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It, oh God. It makes me so sad that I had so horribly misjudged our first meeting of destiny. You know, it's like that little bit of like, oh, I feel like this girl, she just like, you know, she's so appreciative of these things. And, you know, it's like, oh my God, that took a turn for the worse really quickly.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
All
goodness.
Right, your dunce.
My dunce is Chevelle. So why are you spending money on a guy who may not even be around later? Listen to your cousin.
Yeah, but she thinks he's going to be around later. That's the problem.
Oh my God.
Right. It's all on that. It's all on. I guess that's the difference is she thinks that she's rewarding him for already being around.
Yeah.
And everybody else thinks you're bribing him to stay around.
Yeah, and I think like it's a valid point that you're bribing someone to stay around because then, and this kind of goes back to, you know, gold diggers in general, even though this is a little bit different because like we said, it was unsolicited, mm-hmm. You know, but it's just like, are you around for the person or are you around because of the things you get?
Right.
Yeah. All right. What about your life lesson?
So get the right tool for the right job. Right. And that is specifically for the ironing board thing. Like, seriously.
Oh, God.
It's there. It's cheap. It's like, why don't you try to do it on the granite countertop with a wrench? Like, why do you even have the iron if you don't have the ironing board?
Let's heat up the
wrench. Let's just heat up the wrench on the oven and iron it with that. Like, why are we not using the right tools? Especially when the tools are super cheap.
Oh, right. I know. Oh, goodness. Okay. Kind of along the same lines. Like, if you are a 45-year-old man, get some fucking adult bedding for the love of God. They had just that random like throw blanket. He didn't have any sheets
that's
on his
right.
bed.
Yes.
Like, you know, the top sheet. He didn't have a top sheet. It was just that like blanket. And it's just like, oh my God, when I see situations like that, it's like he has taken the time to have somewhat of a nicely decorated house. And then you look at your stupid bed and it's just like, would you please get a sheet? And an actual comforter.
You know how hard it is to buy a fitted sheet without a top sheet? They all come with it.
Yes. Like, you have to go out of your way. Now, like, what are you doing?
I will say this. This astonishes me. And this is a thing. I have a cousin who is 17. And I have my two children who are 10 and 11. None of them use the top sheet. I put the top sheet on their bed every time I make it. And every time I take the sheets off to wash them, the top sheet is just pushed all the way to the bottom. Like,
wait, I don't get it. Why?
I don't get it either. And at some point, they're like, Dad, could you just not put this sheet on? I'm like, no, I'm putting this sheet on because that you're supposed to sleep under a sheet.
You should explain to them the whole like skin cell shedding and stuff. And, you know, most people don't really wash their comforters or blankets as often. And that's part of the reason why you have the top sheet to like create that barrier.
I mean, I don't make sense because it doesn't make sense to me because I think the top sheet is way – I like the top sheet. I like the way the top sheet feels against my skin way more than the blanket
absolutely.
Feels against my
it's
skin.
It's much softer.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's crazy to talk to me. But yes. Buy it. Yeah, get a top sheet.
I think it also keeps it cooler.
And especially when you're talking about the no top sheet, no thing. If you go, like, I would imagine, you know, that 45-year-old divorced guy who lives by himself, doesn't he just go and buy the bed in a bag and get it all at once?
Yes, like, right? Oh my gosh. No one said Sean was smart, but,
that's
you
true.
Know, this is why we can learn from him.
Yes. All right. Well, that covers it for this week.
Yep.
And this show right. is back next week, yes?
Yes, and we got kind of a sneak peek. They are starting Life After Lockup pretty soon.
Oh, I don't think I saw that. Oh,
Yeah, so I think they said September 11th.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of leads me to believe that Love After Lockup might be wrapping up soon.
Well, did they sneak peek? Is it the old Life After Lockup couples from last time?
Yes. Okay. So the couples that they showed were, oh God, Sarah was teasing that she might be pregnant.
Yes, that's kind of where we left off last time with her, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Tony and Angela are still fighting, but they're still technically together, but it kind of makes it look like they're only together because the pandemic is not allowing them to really physically separate. Uh-huh. So they were on Brittany and Marcelino, I think we saw. And those are the only ones that I recall off the top of my head. I didn't think to like write it down.
Right.
But
okay.
So yeah, we do have the same old coming back, you know, September 11th. So that's two Fridays from now.
Yep.
So yeah, maybe we'll be covering both.
Yeah, we will.
Or maybe next week is a season finale. Well, I feel like they never inform us anything.
No, they don't. They really are like, they're usually it's a week out. Usually it's like you're watching this episode and you're like this, they're like, next week is a season finale. And you're like, okay. Great. Yay.
Yeah. All right. Well, sounds good. So next week we will be back at least with the season finale question mark. Right. I don't know.
Yes. I don't know. It could go on forever. Like what was the, yeah, it's crazy that the Life After Lockup's coming up because it was like, what, 54 episodes or something last time?
I know. And I feel like it wasn't on all that long ago, right? Right. Like it ended like a month ago, 2 months ago.
Oh, I think it ended like right close to the start of the pandemic. Actually, it was back
oh, really?
A while. Yeah.
Oh, for some reason I was thinking June. Oh, but maybe I'm thinking of this group. We kind of started this group like end of June, beginning of July.
Yes, that's true. Whatever. Whatever. Yes. All right. Anyway, we'll be back next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
See you later.
All right.
Okay. Bye. Good.